Ready to become the world authority and influencer you have always wanted to be? Your ticket to freedom is positioning yourself as the go-to expert by way of your personal truth. Welcome to Promote, Profit, Publish with your host, best-selling author, platform building coach, and publisher, Juliette Clark. Welcome to Promote, Profit, Publish. I'm so excited. We have a really wonderful guest today, and she's going to dangle something out there that you all want as authors, coaches, and speakers, especially you authors. But before we get started with today's guest, I want to invite you to go over to www.promoteprofitpublishquiz.com and take a look at how your platform building is stacking up from where you are today and where you need to be to have a really successful book or program launch. So today's guest is Susan Harrow. And Susan is a world-renowned media coach and martial artist. For the past 30 years, she's run Harrow Communications, a media consultancy, where she's media trained thousands of CEOs, celebrity chefs, startups, entrepreneurs, and authors. She's helped clients shine on Oprah, CBS 60 Minutes, The Today Show, Good Morning America, and in the New York Times, Inc., O, Parade, People, Vogue. It goes on and on and on. She's been everywhere. What you might not know is that she's a black belt in Aikido and was almost sold into slavery by a Bedouin sheikh for 10 camels and a mule. Oh my gosh, we've got so much to talk about here. You can get her free PDF download that shows you the 15 best places where you can fit into O Magazine. And she'll talk about that at the end after we talk about all of this. She's here today to talk about how to get you into Oprah's magazine. So welcome, Susan.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such a delight. And it's so funny to hear your own bio read too by someone else, because sometimes it seems like it's kind of a funny thing. And I know a lot of people don't like to brag. And it's really nice to have somebody else talk about you. So it's like they're talking about you in a way that it's not bragging, begging, or whoring.
Okay, so we're going to be really direct today. I love that she said that.
Yes, it is. But before we get into this Oprah topic, I want to talk a little bit about, I have a black belt in Taekwondo and you have one in Aikido. What's the difference? Like, is Aikido the one with the hand where you could like take me to the ground and kill me with your hand?
Well, Aikido is called the art of love and harmony. So what we do is we use the attacker's energy to move them to where we want them to go or where they think they want to go. So if somebody is, for example, punching you, we would continue to direct that hand and maybe redirect it. So they're already going forward. So we would help them continue to go forward to take a roll or pin them.
Ah.
So we use the attacker's own energy to move them in the direction that they're already going. So there's no resistance. There's no hard stop. It would be something where we're redirecting that. So it's connecting, redirecting, and throwing or pinning. So in Taekwondo, for example, if you kicked me, I might either have you continue the kick and pull your foot out from underneath yourself so you would fall, or redirect that kick away from my head and redirect you to try to take your balance and have you be at the disadvantage.
There we go. So we're going to have some mud wrestling later on in the show.
No, because of...
Just kidding there. So tell me, since PR is all about storytelling, tell me about this getting sold into slavery for only 10 camels and a mule.
That's what I said. Only 10 camels and a mule. So I was in Israel with my family and there was this man that started, it's really hot there, right? So I was wearing something thin and low cut and it was very, very hot. And this man started following me. My brother was up a little ahead. And the man said, "Is that your husband?" And I said, "Yes. You tell him I want to buy you for 10 camels and a mule." And I said, "Just what you said. Gosh, that doesn't sound like very much. You get off. You tell him." And you know, he kept insisting to buy me for 10 camels and a mule and saying that that was a lot. I checked with people before and it was really actually kind of frightening. And, you know, I was catching, because I, you know, when you're in a foreign country like that, so I kept following until, you know, my brother finally said him, you know, not for sale. And we escaped in the little towns of Jerusalem.
Well, you're kind of lucky. Like if it had been my family member, they would have said, throw in a few chickens and we've got a done deal.
Exactly.
So nice brother you have. So people call you the go-to girl to get onto Oprah and into O Magazine. How did that happen?
You know, it happened by accident because when I was first a publicist before I became a media trainer and marketing strategist. So I found at that time, you know, Oprah's show was on and everybody wanted to be on it, particularly authors, your main audience, right? If you had a book, you wanted to get on the Oprah show. So people called me up all the time wanting to get on Oprah. So I created a training class that I taught at the Learning Annex. I don't know if you remember the Learning Annex. A long time ago, I started teaching a class there that was always packed. Then I created a book called The Ultimate Guide to Getting Booked on Oprah because a lot of people weren't ready for Oprah. Oprah is such that you need to walk a marathon before you run a mile. And so if you haven't had any experience getting on media on local shows or you haven't done local radio shows, you're typically not ready for Oprah. So I set about finding out and training people on, if you're ready, great, I'll train you to be on the show. And if you're not ready, here are all the things that you need to get prepared. So then when Oprah's show went off the air, people had no place to go. But I thought, wow, O Magazine can be even more powerful than the Oprah show. And most people don't really know that. And it's partly because the show on TV, you have a super quick hit and you have a lot of business really fast all at once. And then, of course, you can use that show for credibility. Once you've said you're on the Oprah show, it's the creme de la creme, the top of the top. So you are already vetted to be on the Today Show, Good Morning America, you know, other top TV shows, because if you've been on Oprah, wow, you've already passed that bar. And they did have like different levels of auditions to get on the show. It's not like you just get invited and then you're just on. You need to pass through those auditions. O Magazine is the same way. I mean, essentially, you are auditioning for the magazine. And because it is the creme de la creme, you want to know how to pitch editors properly so that they understand your offer and can see how it fits into the magazine. So I wrote Get Into O Magazine and created a whole system of success so people would be able to have a chance and have a way better chance than their competition of getting into Oprah's magazine.
That is so cool. I never knew there was a layered process to that. That I thought you, like, just like you said, they call you or you call them and you're in.
No. And just like people, this is the same like for Terry Gross, one of my favorite radio shows in NPR. No, there's a whole audition process, marketplace, those upper level shows, you are auditioning. And if you don't pass, and I've media trained a lot of people who like missed auditions that didn't pass through the audition, and a publisher would call me or a person would call me and say, I didn't get on Marketplace or I didn't get on Terry Gross Fresh Air and I had a chance to, and can I have another opportunity, media train with me and then call her back. And I actually had a client who did got the publisher call back Marketplace, and then the client passed the audition so he could get on that show, which was really important for his particular book.
Oh, wow. Good to know. Very good to know. So you often say that getting into O and Oprah Magazine is like winning an Academy Award. Can you explain that?
Yes, because it's like getting an Academy Award, like getting the Good Housekeeping seal of approval. Once you've been in O Magazine, again, that is like the highest accolade that you can get pretty much. And so that opens doors for you to get into other magazines and to get other media appearances too. Because the standards are so high, people understand that you have passed those standards and you've been vetted, just like, oh. And the reason why it's like an Academy Award in terms of the doors that it opened, it's like the gift that keeps on giving in a good way, because the magazine is so powerful, meaning it's got a pass-on rate of reaching 18,000 potential clients and customers for you. So that's an enormous audience. And people don't throw it away. So they can open it up and use it for actually years. So most magazines people throw away. And a lot of the research that I did, the people do not. And they go back to it over and over again to buy gifts, to hire people, to go through programs, to give money to nonprofits. So it is something that has a very long-lasting value. And one of the things, like some of the people that I interviewed for the actual ebook and the whole system of Get Into O System for Success, is they said then they used that spread. Like one woman used it in her bakery, another used it in her nonprofit. So when somebody walked in to their physical space or saw it on their website, right? It's like, oh my God, you're associated with Oprah. And that is forever. And so that's something that lives on and on and on, even if it was 10 years ago. Because I interviewed people in 2007 first, when I first created it. And then I went back and re-interviewed them. Hey, where are you today? And Oprah actually did that in the back of her magazine too. She's got a section where are these people today? And I thought, well, I should do that. I should find out where are the people that I interviewed in 2007 today and how that helped them. And that's one of the things that they told me, how they continued to bank on that success and how impressive it was to everyone. So you have that forever. And an author, for your audience, for an author, that's, we know what that stamp of approval is for that, and that can sell hundreds of thousands of books in a snap.
Right. That is so cool. Is there a particular genre or certain types of products and services that O Magazine looks for?
Yes. They need to be beautiful. They need to be packaged inside and out in a beautiful way. They need to have the kind of content that moves women, if we're talking about books. I mean, we are talking about a huge gamut of books, including poetry, which is not accepted everywhere, right? Children's books, that's the one caveat. I haven't seen any reviews of children's books, but pretty much the gamut of literary fiction, nonfiction, poetry, self-help, all of that is in the realm of that. And you asked me, what was the question that you asked me? How is it?
About products and services. I'm assuming she looks at products as well, since you're talking about physical stores.
Absolutely. Food, fashion, fitness, wellness, everything. If you're on the cutting edge of technology, it's all in there. If you have a product, whether it's technology or wine, that has a huge capacity in the magazine. And then the other thing is that if you do have a product, it has the ability to, once it's been featured in the magazine, those are what the editors look at first for Oprah's favorite things. Now, that's not the only place they look at favorite things, but they take a look at, like, what have we featured for the whole year for Oprah's favorite things? Now, if you get into Oprah's favorite things, you can be a millionaire overnight. Not always, right? But the potential is, if anybody gets into Oprah's magazine, you double or triple your business overnight. If you get into Oprah's favorite things, we're talking like almost instant millions or hundreds of thousands of dollars. And that is also sustained over time, because once you've gotten that and you've, again, capitalized on that, typically those businesses are sustained. It's not just a one-time thing, like being on the TV show, which is more of a quick one-time thing where there's more of a rush. But being in the magazine like that and doubling, triple your business, that, as long as you ramp up your business, that is sustained, which is pretty remarkable. And so you asked me also, so there's the capacity for pretty much everything of interest to women. That's the one caveat. It's got to be of interest to women, and it's got to be beautifully packaged inside and out, and also created in such a way that's an angle that shows that it's something that women need, that women want, that will help them in some way, internally or externally.
Mm-hmm. But that brings a good point to the whole packaging, is they're coming to you for media training, but that's only one piece of it. Everything has to be very well branded and that perception with the public tested before you ever get on there. So it has to be visually nice. It has to have a great message, and it has to be all interconnected with all of the products you have out there.
That's so important. And I'm glad you brought that up. And I do work with them, not necessarily on the branding, but making sure that everything they do say, are, and think, from their words to their website, are in sync. And that means that they're giving the message. The message is consistent across platforms, because when editors vet you, they look at your social media. Of course, they look at your website. Of course, they look at your product. All of that has to be, like you said, in complete unison. So it does have to be gorgeous. And your photography has to be top notch too. That's super important to have something that's super beautiful. I had one client, one editor loved her cookies and actually bought them personally, never made it into the magazine because even though I recommended that she get a professional stylist and photographer, she insisted on doing her own photos, which did not look professional and were not up to the quality of Oprah. So she didn't make it into the magazine. Now, if she had taken that advice and done that, then because the editors already loved her actual, the taste of the cookies, but they weren't up to snuff visually. And sometimes what happens is if an editor does love what you have and it's not packaged properly and they do love it, like Adam Glasson has asked people like at trade shows, you know, I'm considering this for Oprah's favorite things, but it needs to be completely repackaged. So if you have a product or a book or anything that they ask you to repackage, you want to do it like instantly. But here's the thing. You don't want them to ask you to repackage it. You want to have it already beautiful and packaged and be something so enticing that they can't resist it, right? Because if you're in competition with three different people for a book or a soap, piece of soap, and somebody else already has the beautiful website and the beautiful photography and the soap smells good and it feels really great and the book is really wonderful, they're going to choose the person who already has that already in place.
Mm-hmm. But that brings up a really great point about so many businesses out there taking shortcuts. I just have to get this to market and not really developing all that in a very meaningful way.
Well, then it's not for O. You know, you're not ready for O. And if that's your attitude, that's also not an Oprah attitude. Her attitude is one of generosity and giving and beauty and compassion. It's not hurry, hurry, rush, rush, slap it together. I mean, I understand the rush to market, and you don't want something to fall apart or not work in any capacity when somebody's actually got that in their hands, whether it's a telephone or a toy, right?
That's absolutely true. So can you share with us three secrets that you would give to clients that you've interviewed to get into Oprah Magazine?
Yeah. So we've talked a little bit about pitching. So the three secrets are you need to know how to pitch. You need to know how to package yourself and your product. So yourself, you need to package, think about packaging yourself too, your product. And then it's perseverance. So let's go through them one by one. Number one is pitching. You need to understand how to pitch in a paragraph. If you can't capture somebody's attention in a couple of lines, you know, with the subject head is first, and we show you how to write a subject line, how to write a headline that gets the editor's attention because they're getting hundreds, if not thousands of emails every single week. So you have to capture them with a headline to read further, read that paragraph, and then be inspired to connect with you. So that's the first thing. And that has to be done really 5 seconds because if the headline isn't compelling, you move on to the next one, which is your subject line in your email. Number two, packaging, which is you want something to be beautiful inside and out, which we talked about, which is even if it's not physical, if you're pitching via email, I recommend that you do first before you send anything in, if you have something physical, even be it a book or food or fashion or whatever that is, you want to get the interest first and be invited to send that business, book, product, service, or cause in. And so the packaging has to be enticing. There's got to be something that is, imagine it being opened and then that it's a beautiful present in some way. What is going to capture that attention, whether it's something physical or interesting if you send it in, but also a link to something fascinating. Like one of my clients that I was working with, she has a little love jar. And so one of the things that we wanted to do is link to being able to see the jar, you know, because before she sent it in because they were personalized, to be able to see it. And there was a teacher who everybody loved and people sent in their sentiments on paper and she makes them into like little fortune cookie size things and then puts them into this beautiful jar. Well, the jar that she had to use for this teacher was like 3 times the size of her regular jar because she got so many responses. And so you see that on the blog post, you see the giant jar and then you see the regular size jar. How much this woman was appreciated and loved, and she's a teacher. So that's something that Oprah really values, right? So we wanted her to be able to see that. So it's just something as simple as that. So that's packaging. And then the third thing is perseverance. So lots of times people give up, but with Oprah, you know, you might send in an idea and it's not accepted, you know, it's not responded to. So you want to think of another idea or another angle or another way to approach it in and to keep consistently sending different ideas in that you know or that you think are appropriate for her audience, right? And so that's what you want to think. And of course, you want to study the magazine diligently to understand the quality and the types of things that she's already featured to understand if you do fit in at all in the first place.
Mm-hmm. So just to kind of recap there, what I'm hearing you say is don't make that first contact just you send something physical in.
People have done it that way and it's definitely worked, but you risk ending up in the slush pile. I think better to be invited in, even if it's something, even if it's food or fitness or whatever that is, even if it's something physical, even if it's a book, I think it's best to be invited in. And if you don't choose that way, then make it really interesting. Like one woman, when she sent her book in, she tagged the passages that she thought were most appropriate for Oprah. And so she could just open the book to those little stickies and see why the book would be an Oprah book and why it would be of interest to the audience. And the other reason why you want to do that is because sometimes it's not necessarily the book is reviewed, and she doesn't review self-published books. So it has to be a traditionally published book. But if you have a self-published book, it can be part of the contents that are pulled out that maybe become a feature article or are used in some other way in the context of a story elsewhere. So that by directing, so it's like, oh my God, do I have to read this whole book? No, here are the appropriate passages that would be of keen interest to you. So it's thinking like that, like, how can I save that person time? How can I make it easy for them to say yes? How can I do the most work possible so it's easy to work with me? People like to work with people who are easy to work with and do most of the work for them.
Yes, 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 they do. But I think my point that I was trying to make there is remembering in all of this, this is kind of like when you submit to a traditional publisher, they have a lot to go through. So just sending without context sometimes probably isn't the best way to do it. I like that you prefaced it with get yourself an invite.
Yes, it's magnetizing someone toward you versus pushing yourself at them. So I like that. That's a much more inviting energy.
Yes, it definitely is. So what do you do when people don't know what to do or they're afraid? I think the big factor there is the fear. Like, there's so many people out there that want to do it, but they're thinking, oh my God, it's Oprah. Like, I'm not good enough. You know, all those things that come up for you.
I do. I think that it's a confidence crisis that a lot of us have. I mean, myself included. And I think that our biggest desires and one of our biggest fears is we want to be seen. We want to be seen, but we don't want to be seen.
Yes.
Right? And what we want to be seen for is we want to be seen for the best of ourselves. We don't want to be the same, but there's been a lot of talk about, you know, vulnerability and authenticity, and that doesn't mean plastering your problems on a billboard. What it means is sharing your humanity and being able to connect with someone deeply. And I think that's a big misconception in this sort of authenticity BS is what I call it. And that kind of BS in terms of like talking about yourself. I'm so vulnerable. I'm going to share the most hurtful thing now to people. I'm like,
right?
You know, I mean, that just makes me puke. You know, it's just like, no, you've got to actually do it. But don't wave your freak flag and say, I'm about to share my BS and my crap with you.
I love that freak flag.
That's what I think people miss. It's about where do we connect on where we're most successful and most hurt. I mean, Oprah loves those kind of books, but it's the triumph of the spirit at the end. It's like, I've hurt in this way and now I've triumphed. So for yourself, if you're fearful, for me, one of the easiest things to do is just take a tiny movement step toward it. Like if you want to get into O Magazine and you've never been in any magazine before either, I mean, maybe that's not your first step. Your first step is to get into your local newspaper, even a step down the local pine cone. Take that tiny, miny step and start to get that experience and practice. So you and I both in martial arts. Like I was a teaching tennis pro. I was always an athlete. Once I got on the floor of Aikido, I am like the bumblingest. I mean, people said, I never thought you would stick with it. And I certainly never thought you'd get your black belt because you were so bad. And it was the most frustrating and awful process for me because it was so different and it was so awkward. And I felt like the kid who was never chosen on the baseball team, and I'd always been the athlete, so I'd be chosen first. And now I was chosen last. And even in Aikido, you have to bow to your partner next to you. People would like get up, walk away, so they wouldn't have to train with me. And I would go, I'd be ready to bow into the people next to me, and they'd be out of there because they didn't want to train with me because I was so bad. But I kept going to all of the classes, practice, 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 practice. And what I want to say to people is, it is practice. All of this is a practice. Writing a pitch letter is a practice. Doing the media training, getting used to speaking about doing these podcasts, it's a practice. So don't call up the biggest podcaster first. Start with the tiniest one and actually practice your sound bites and with the webcam so you can start to iron out what's not working. So what I recommend for people who are fearful is to start small and just start to actually do it. Because if you start to move into action, then I think that the universe backs you. Gabrielle Bernstein has a great title of her book, The Universe Has Your Back. I think it does. But we have, and one of my favorite sayings is, trust in Allah, but tie your camel, right?
You and those camels.
Yeah, that's right, camels. Yeah. So there has to be some kind of movement, whatever that is for you. So even the tiniest movement forward is fantastic. So take whatever tiniest movement there is. And what I also recommend is when people are stuck, go onto a different track. There's another saying that I love that's called, do the hard things when they're easy. I use that all the time. If I'm writing a newsletter or working on a client pitch, for example, and it's not flowing, I stop. I go do something else, whether it's go snip a flower in the garden, move on to another project, get up, move around, water the plants, take a breath, do a quick meditation, do something else, get you on another track, and then come back to it and see, oh my gosh, is something flowing now? Or maybe I do a lot of thinking when I'm walking and I carry a notebook and my phone so I can make recordings and write things down. So just keep moving forward with whatever it is. If you want it, you can eventually have it.
That's a great point. And I do the same thing, actually, when I'm out running. I have my phone. It's just like my clear air. I'll take a break from a project. But I want to say something. I'm going to say another Taekwondo analogy here. One of the things that you have to remember while you're doing that practice and training is that sometimes you're going to get knocked down and it's going to hurt and you have to get back up and practice again. Because that was one of the big lessons I took. I came home so bruised sometimes from fighting. And, you know, I just get up and do it the next day. So you also have to do that as well and not say, oh, well, that door closed, because it's not closed usually.
No. And I can tell you from doing Aikido, I would pretty much cried every single night after class because I wanted to be graceful so much. I'm still not. You know, just because you're a black belt doesn't mean you're an expert. And I think what's important about what you just said and what I love my sensei, Hans Goto sensei says, is it's the closest thing to reincarnation. Because you've done a throw, it's over, forget it. The next one is the next moment to practice and really think about and analyze. And this is what I ask my media training clients to do too. I said, what did you do well? What are you going to shift for next time? So it's not about self-criticism. It's about self-observation and self-awareness. Oh, I did this. I wasn't so pleased about that. Let me shift it the next time. And so it's that kind of iteration. And it's the same thing in martial arts. Oh, that throw, I didn't quite take that person off balance. They didn't quite fall. I really had to sort of muscle my way through it, which is what you don't want to do, right? You want to use all of the energy and the angle and the technique to throw somebody and make them light. So if they didn't feel light, what did I do? Did I not turn enough? Was it timing? Was it turning? What was it in that? And really start to think what didn't work. And make that small iteration the next time. And then you just keep doing that. It's like, so with your pitch letter, it's like, maybe the headline didn't work. I need to tweak that. Maybe that wasn't a thing. I need to tweak that. The packaging, oh, it wasn't the right color. Those are the iterations that you're going to make over and over again.
Yes. Very good. Very good. So you actually have a gift for us today, right?
I do. So it's the 15 best places where you can fit into Oprah's magazine. So you can go to my website, prsecrets.com, and go under free goodies. There's lots more there besides that one. But if that's the one you particularly want, you can have all of them that are there. But it's all of the areas in the magazine that are potential for you to fit in. And that's free. And it's called the 15 best places for you. So it's how to get featured in O, like where you can be in there. And that's at prsecrets.com and go to the free goodie section.
Yay. And I got those free goodies. And I'm going to have you mention a course you have as well, because Susan shared her fabulous course with me and it was a great value. I actually learned a lot in it. Do you want to talk a little bit about it?
Yeah. So it's the O Magazine System for Success. So what we have there is the 10 steps to getting into Oprah's magazine. And then the whole system that's behind it too, we've got bonus things that show you how to pitch. So the 100-word email that can get the media to call. We've got the 10 proven press releases. We have a whole bonus package in there that shows you those ancillary things that will help you get into O Magazine. So each one is designed to move you forward to being able to pitch properly, package, and persevere to get into the magazine. So all of that supports you. And the other thing that we do, because we really want you to take action, is we edit your pitch letter. So you write your pitch letter, you send it to us, we tweak it, we send it back to you, ready to send into the O editors. So that is, we've sort of done most of the action for you. You just have to do that first draft, your best effort at a first draft. And then you can send it in, boom, like that. We give you a list of all of the editors for the hard copy, the online copy, and oprahmag.com. So you have three distinct opportunities to get into O Magazine. So it's a wonderful way to begin and to start to move forward if that's your dream. And if it is your dream, I encourage you to even take that tiniest step toward it. Get the free PDF, or if you're already inspired, I invite you also to get the system if you're ready for it. I applaud you.
Yeah, I highly recommend the system, you guys, because it is just that editing. I mean, that is such a value when you see the cost of the program. If you went and had a professional do that without this program, I believe, I could be wrong, Susan, but I think it would cost you much more than the whole entire program does.
It is. It would be at least $500.
Yeah, there's a lot of really valuable stuff in there. So thank you so much for being on today. I really appreciate you talking about this. I know a lot of the listeners, it's the things like this that they just don't know how to do that really inspires them. So thank you for sharing all this.
Thank you so much. And I look forward to hearing back from all of you when your process about getting into O Magazine and then your actual being seen on the pages of O Magazine. I'd love to hear about it.
Very good.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to take our Promote, Profit, Publish assessment and see where your skill set needs work. Go to promoteprofitpublishquiz.com. By taking the assessment, you may be eligible for a discovery session with Juliet. Remember, by building your platform right, you win, your audience wins, the crowd goes wild, and the world is a better place.